beginning here on the top of Chof Daman Aleph with the statement of Rav Hoshea. Rav Hoshea says, "I'm afrish two chataot achrayut. Someone who's mafrish two chataot up front, one as a backup for the other, mitkaper ba'achat mehen. He can use one of them for kapara v'chaverta ro'ah, and then the other one, which he doesn't use, goes out to graze until it gets a muminit. And then the remaining money that you receive for selling that animal after it's a muminit, you use towards purchasing an olah or an olat nidava. That is the status of shtei chataot achrayut." This is a corollary to the statement that was made by Rabbi Ami before about Shnei Tzuburei Mamot. We had the two piles of money that were Mufrash L'Achrayut, and now Rabbi Hoshea is describing a case where we have two Chataot that were separated L'Achrayut. Aliba Deman, Rabbi Hoshea's statement is according to whom? Ilem Aliba De Rabbanon, that he's saying this according to Rabbanon, Hashta Mafrish Li'Ibud. In a case where the Rabbanon, where he's Mafrishit, even though he had lost the animal, and one of these animals is going to go to Mitah, Amrei Rabbanon Lav Li'Ibud Dami, doesn't have the status of a lost animal that it's going to be put to death, like Rayut Mibai, in a case where he, Lechatchila, separated out two animals, then of course it won't go to death. Meaning, we know that according to the Rabbanan, even after the fact, if you had lost one of your Chataot and then replaced it with another Chatat and found the original, as long as you found the original prior to the Zman Kapara, one of them is used, the other one goes out, the braise. And the Chachamim over there say that it doesn't go to Mita. So here, where you were mafrish, the two of them, all the way from the beginning, to be l'achrayut, of course over there they won't think that it goes to mita. So we don't need Rav Hoshea's statement to teach us about the Rabbanan. From the Rabbanan we would have known that automatically based on their position with regards to chetat shenitkapru ba'alea. With regards to a chetat whose banlim had been nitkaper with another one, they only say that's true when you find the first chetat after you've been nitkaper. But if you find it before you nitkaper, there it's yotzei l'riyah, it doesn't go to mita. So certainly here, where you mafrish, from the beginning, the two of them, they wouldn't go to mitah. So now, what's the other possibility? Hello, aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Maybe it's according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon we bumped into before. Dama Rabbi Shimon, chamesh chatot meitot. And Rabbi Shimon, who said before that five chatot go to mitah, we said over there, he has no qualification about that statement. It's chamesh chatot meitot, period. So too over here, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon says, chamesh chatot meitot, doesn't matter l'achrayut, doesn't matter not l'achrayut. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, if you're mafrish l'achrayut, it should go to mitah. Why are you drawing any distinctions? He has no such qualifications in his statement about the Chamesh Chatot Meito. A Chatat Shenitkapru Ba'alea in any circumstance will be the Mitah, including a circumstance in which he was Mafrish L'Achrayut. Ela Aliba de Rabbi. Must be that Rav Hoshea's statement is coming to qualify the statement of Rabbi. Higama Rabbi Bi'ibut. When does Rabbi say that the other Chatat goes the Mitah? That's when you're Mafrishit, knowing full well that if you find the other Chatat, this one will be the Mitah, or this one will be not used at all. Aval Achrayut, if you, the Chatchila, separate them out, lo, that will not be the case. So Rabbi will believe, both in a case where you find the animal prior to Kapara, or where you find the animal after Kapara, it's the Mitah. The only exception in that case will be a case where you're Mafrishit Achrayut. Even Rabbi would agree there that the other Chatat goes out to graze and get a mum in it, and does not go to Mitah. Tanan, a mafrish chatat, or he balat mum. Case, our Mishnah, which says if you're mafrish chatat, and you find out it's a balat mum, mochra, mevi acheret tachta, then you sell it, and you bring a replacement chatat. But Lazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, im karva shnia, kodim shenish chata rishona. If the second one was put on the mizbeach before you shechted the first one, that means even after it's been sold, but before it's been shechted, it's now chulin, and somebody bought this from Hekdesh, they do not shecht it prior to the shechting of the new chatat, then it becomes a chatat shekipru ba'aleha, tamut shekar shekipru ba'aleha. It goes to death because the balim are already nitchaper with the chatat that they brought now, the replacement chatat, and the balatmu has yet to be shechted, and that's considered or still classified as a chatat shekipru ba'aleha. I would think that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is an extension of the shita of Rabbi, who says that whenever you have two chataot, one of them is the mita, one of them gets used for kapara. And that would be true afilu b'achrayut nami. Even in a case where you separate them out front that way, we would think that the din should be as such, that one goes the mita, and one goes to be mitkaper. Just like by the case of balat mum, where one of them goes out to be sold to chulin, and the other one goes to kaparat. Here there are no two animals for kaparat. It's not like you have a choice. It's not like that one is here, we are dismissing or setting aside one of them. One of them is not really the gamre, because it is got a mum in it. Nevertheless, we still say that it's considered like a chatat shekibru ba'alea. So certainly in a case where you mafrish two of them up front, where they're both ru'im lemizbeach, and you're going to use one and dismiss the other, that should be considered a chatat shekibru ba'alea. But if Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is building on the position of Rabbi, that means that Rabbi thinks that even by achrayut, where you separate two animals out, that it does holeich lemita. Where it says, lo, dimma Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, gabu asfirle. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon doesn't have to be built on the position of Rabbi, he'd be built on the position of his father, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said, demar chamesh chatot meitot. That he says that five chatot go to death, no matter what. There's no qualifications, no exceptions to the rule. Chatat shekibu ba'aleha, goes to death. And certainly in a case by achrayut, but even in a case, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, even in a case where he is mafrish a new chatat, because the first one was a balat mum, still, the balat mum has a problem unless it's shechted prior to the chatat that is being used now. It's none. We have a Mishnah by Yoma. We have quoted this Mishnah earlier, both by the position of Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, with regard to the Shnei Seirim. They were mafrish, the two Seirim, they had a goral, they assigned one Lashem, one Lachazel, and then something went wrong with one of the Seirim. So now they have to bring a second set of Seirim in to replace the first set. They do a goral, and they bring in the replacements. And we say over there that the chatat that doesn't get chosen to be used over here does not go to mitah, lefi shein chatat etzibur meitah, because it's a chatat etzibur, and a chatat etzibur is not included in halacha lemoshe misinai lemitah. Had a yachid, had it been of a yachid, meitah, then it would have gone to death. And Amar Rav, Rav qualifies that statement and says, balei chayim ein nidachin. Balei chayim don't get pushed out. Therefore, kishu mechaper b'sheni shebezug rishon mitkaper. That means the original two, one of them's gone. The second one from the original pair stays in place. It does not get knocked out. Because it was ra'ui, it still is ra'ui and will stay in place. And therefore, v'idach, and the second one is a backup now. The second pair that you bring, for instance, in our case, we have a Seir LaZazel, a Seir LaShem. Something goes wrong with the Seir LaZazel, then we keep the Seir LaShem and we use the LaShem. Then you have a second goral, create a Azazel and LaShem. The Azazel will replace the first Azazel that's gone now. Now the Chatat, LaShem, that will use the original one. But now you have a second Lashem Chatat from the second pair that you drew lots on. That second one will be a backup for the first one. And the same thing the opposite. If something had gone wrong with the Seir Lashem, and now you have a Seir Lazazel left, that Seir Lazazel will be the Seir Lazazel. And the second Seir Lazazel that's produced by the lottery or the lots from the second grouping, that will be a backup. But that's Le'achrayut. Viktani, the Yachid Meita. And yet we say there, the only reason it doesn't die is because it belongs to the Tzibur. Had it belonged to the Yachid, it would have been Meita. Where it says, Rav L'tamei, Damar Mitzvah Berishon. Rav is according to Shitato that the mitzvah is to do it with the first one. Now Rashi has a slightly different gears, and he says, Rav Savala ki Rabbi Yossi. Rav holds like Rabbi Yossi, Damar Mitzvah Berishon. And that is by Psachim. In a case by Psachim, where a person loses his Pesach, and then he is Mafrish a second Pesach, and then he finds them both. There, the Mishnah says, you can Ratzami, he can use this one for his Pesach, Ratzai can use the other one for his Pesach. He gets to choose whichever one he likes to use for his Pesach. Biosi over there says that the first, the original Pesach, is the one that you should use. The second one is only Mufrash as a backup for the first one. If you find the first one, then that's the one that goes on the Mizbeach. So Rav is sober the same way. There's really no such thing here as being Mafrish Lachrayut. It's not that he's being Mafrish and this is a backup. It's not a backup because it's really never supposed to go on the Mizbeach. We know that if we have the first one, that's the primary, and that's the one that's going on the Mizbeach. The second one is Mafrish Kehilu Li'ibud, as if he's doing it, that he knows that it's not going to be used at all, because he don't have a backup. We don't have a choice now between the two of them. There's only one in the primary one, which is the first one. And therefore, also over here, that's why we use the first Seir LaShem, or the first Seir LaZazel, because that is the primary Karban. The other one that we're Mafrish is as if it doesn't exist now, because we would never use it if we have a choice to use the first one. But that's not true in our case, where you're Mafrish Techatot Achrayut. Over there, there's no first and second. They were mufrash at the same time, and they're both equally valid to be a korban. So maybe over there we would say that by yachid, there it would not be imnit kapru balea, the other one goes to mita. Because over here there's no concept of mitzvah berishon, since they're both rishonim in this case. Okay, Tani Rav Simi bar Ziri, kamedra papa. Avdo bishata frashah, if it was lost at the time that he was mafrish the second korban and he found it, the Rebbe meita, according to Rebbe it goes to mita. We've learned this already. The Rabbanan tir'eh. And according to the Rabbanan, it goes out to graze because it was found prior to Kapara. Avda b'shat Kapara, if it was lost and then only found after the Kapara was attained by the second Chatat, the Rabbanan meita, according to the Rabbanan, it goes to the mita. Whereas according to the Rebbe, roulette, it goes out to graze. So Amar Lei, Rabbop responds to him, Kavachomer. Why would you ever say such a thing? Uma avuda b'shat afrasha, at the time that he's mafrish, if he lost the chatat and then found it before kapara, Damei Rabbanan ro'eh. There the Rabbanan say it goes out to graze, and Amar Rebbe Meita, over there Rebbe says it goes to death. Avuda b'shat kapara. If it's lost at the time of the kapara, where the Rabbanan themselves say it's the Meita, the Rebbe lo koshikein, then according to Rebbe, certainly it should go to Meita. This is the way you should learn it. Avuda b'shat afrasha, if it's lost at the time that you're mafrish the second animal but found before kapara, the Rebbe meita, according to Rebbe, that goes to the mita. Rabbanan Roeh. According to Rabbanan, it goes out to graze. Bishat Kapara, if it's lost at the time of Kapara, Diri Akometa. Then according to everybody, both Rabbanan and Rabbi, it goes the Mita. Now the Gemara is going to deal with the last line in the Mishnah, which is that position of Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Elazar Rabbi Shimon, which we just quoted above, says that if you have a chatat that's a balat mum, was sold the chulin, and then you were going to use the proceeds from that sale to buy a new chatat, if you bring that chatat and shecht it before the person who bought it, the chulin, has shechted it, then it's a chatat shekibu bala and it has to go to Mita. So Tana Rabbanan, ein margilin biyom tov. Person cannot, when they skin the animal and they flay the animal that is brought as kodeshim, we do not do that on Yom Tov. That is because it's a tircha yetera. If you just want to remove the skin and flay the animal, you can do it in such a manner that eases the removal of the skin and not do a tircha yetera. There is a more difficult process, which is if you do it from the legs downward, where you maintain the whole skin and you maintain it in a shape that it can be used now either to make flasks or bellows out of the skins when they are flayed in such a manner. It's a much harder process, much more difficult process, but it's done in order to have the skins be able to be used for nifachim or letzorach dvash, either to make flasks or bellows, kiyotzebo. Similar din applies to ein margilin bebechor. We don't do such a thing by bechor. Bechor that is shechted by mum, you're not allowed to skin it flayed in that manner. V'lo psulei mukdashim. Also, kodesh that gets a mum that's sold to chulin, you cannot flay it in that manner. Mishlom be yom tov. I understand why in yom tov you can't do this. The katarach tircha de lo chazile. You're doing extra tircha that has no shaychut to yom tov. There's no benefit to yom tov from your flaying it. You do have to flay the animal, because otherwise you can't eat it, or you can't bring it as a korban. So that I understand. But to flay it in a special manner that takes extra exertion, effort, that we're not going to let you do on Yom Tov, because there is no benefit to Yom Tov. Ela Bechor Man Tano. Who's the author of such a position that you can't do this by Bechor? Bechor Bamum belongs to the Kohen. Why can't he eat flayed in this manner? So Amar Rav Chista, the Beit Shammai, it follows that position of Beit Shammai, Damar Bechor B'Kdushatei Kai, that Bechor, even after it becomes a Baal Mum, retains a certain amount of its Kdusha, the Tanan. Shemi Omrim, Lo Yimnei Yisrael Im Kohen, Ala Bechor, that a Yisrael, a regular Yisrael, should not go and eat at a meal where a Kohen is serving a Bechor Baal Mum, because it retains a certain amount of Kdusha, and it's only Ra'ui for the Kohen to eat it. So he believes the Yisrael cannot partake in a Bechor Baal Mum, because it still retains a Kdusha. Same thing with margilin. You're not allowed to flay it in such a manner because it still retains a certain amount of its kedushat bichor, and therefore it looks like you're doing avodah bekodoshim, something that is done by chulin. So we don't allow you to do it over there based on the position of Beit Shammai. Now, what with regards to psulei mukdashim? Who's the author of that position that even after psulei mukdashim they get a mum in them and they're sold that you're not allowed to then flay them in such a manner? Mantana, Rabbi Chista, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimoni, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who we mentioned in our Mishnah, Ditanya, we have a brayta. One of them is ra'oy l'mizbeach, one of them has a mum in it. Tmima tikrav, the tmima should be put on the mizbeach, bal mum tifteh, and the one that has the mum in it should be redeemed. Nishkata balat mum achelo nizrakta ma'ashel tmima, if the bal mum was already shechted prior to the dam of the tmima being put on the mizbeach, muteret, then it's fine to eat as chulin. Mishen nizrakta ma, after the dam is already on the mizbeach, shel tmima asura. There's a problem having this bal mum that you sold be used by someone else. But also Rabbi Shimon Amar, afilu basar balat mum b'teira. Even if you've shechted the bal mum already, and it's got it, it's the meats in the pot already, but nizrakta ma shel tmima, and you do the zrika the dam of the tmima, yotze the beit asreifa. But that psulei mekdoshim is still has kedusha in it, and it's a chatat shekibu bale, and you have to throw it out. So now, first of all, Tosfot raises the issue right away. This seems different than our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says that you just have to shech the balat mum before you're makriv the tmima. And number two is the chachamim don't have anything of this sort. Yet in this brayta, the chachamim agree that the psulei mukdashim has a problem if you haven't taken care of it or shechted it prior to the zrikat adam of the tmima. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is even more extreme here, where he says that even when the meat's in the pot, if you do zrikat adam of the tmima, then it's problematic. So Tosafot distinguishes between the case in our Braita and the case in our Mishnah. And he says, Yesh lechalek, debahayda matnitan, in the case of our Mishnah, kevin daitak var balat mum, kodem afrashal shulzu. It first became a balat mum. Then you sold a balat mum, and with the proceeds, you purchased a tamim to go on the mizbeach. You purchased a tamima, chatat tamima, to put on the mizbeach. In a lek kedusha kolka. Therefore, it doesn't have such strong kedusha. The tie between the balat mum and the tamima is much less. Therefore, in our Mishnah, the Chachamim say the balat mum is gone, the gamre, has no connection to the new chatat. But as Rabbi Shimon says, there's a small connection still, which is that if you don't shech the balat mum before the zrikat adam or the shechting of the tmima, then you have a problem. But not more than that. In the case of the brayta, here's a case where you have both of them in front of you. You have a balat mum and a tmima. I mean that they were hufrasha Here, l'achrayut, you had two chataot that were ruim to go on the mizbeach. Then one of them became a balad mum. So over there, we're going to treat it differently. There, the kedusha is much higher on the balad mum because it was near et. It had the possibility of being a chatat, and now it was rejected because it became a balad mum. Over there, the tie between the tmimah and the balad mum will be much more extensive. And we will say that, according to the chachamim, you haven't shechted the balad mum before you put the zrika, the dam of the tmimah on the mizbeach. Then it's problematic, and it'll be a chatat shekibu bale, and you won't be able to use it. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, you have a much more extreme opinion here, where then even if it's in the pot, and you have yet to do the zrikat adam, then it's okay, but once you do the zrikat adam, it'll be problematic. And that's because over here was a chatat that both existed at the same time, and both ru'uyim at one point to go on the mizbeach. So that'll be the distinction between those cases. Back to our Gemara over here. What we're saying, Rav Chisda is saying, is that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is the author of the position by Psulei Mukdashim, that by Psulei Mukdashim, you're not allowed to flay the animal in a manner that is like chulin, because it still retains a certain amount of dusha. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, we see, says that Psulei Mukdashim retain dusha even after they're in the pot. They still have a certain amount of dusha, because over there, if you do the zrikat adab of the chatat atmima, it's going to affect that which is in the pot. Now the Gemara asks on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda gave the answer to the different positions in our Mishnah. We said we understood Yom Tov, then we had Bechor and Psulei Mukdashim. He said, well, Bechor is authored based on the position of Beit Shammai, and Psulei Mukdashim is authored based on the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Gemara says, why didn't Rav Chisda just answer that everything is Beit Shammai? That both Psulei Mukdashim and the Bechor are authored by that position of Beit Shammai. Rav Chisda, look, my idiv idik Beit Shammai, Dilma. So the Gemara says that you can't say, Ki Amri Beit Shammai be Bechor, Dik Chudei Mirechem. Maybe Beit Shammai only has this opinion that Bechor retains his dusha even after it gets a mum in it, because it is Kadosh Mirechem. About Psulei Mukdashim, lo. But by Psulei Mukdashim, we would not say that. So the Gemara says, well, let's go the other way. V'lukma idiv idik, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Let's say Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is the author of both positions in this braita, meaning that he says it by Psulei Mukdashim, he will also say it by a Bechor. Gemara says, Dilma kam Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Psulei Mukdashim, da'lima yilid mitbas pidyonan. Because they have a high enough kedusha that they're able to be redeemed. Aba Bechor, lo tifdeh. You're not allowed to redeem a Bechor. Since you can't redeem a Bechor, maybe he doesn't have a high enough kedusha that retains his kedusha even after it gets a mum. Therefore, we say that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is the author of the piece about Psulei Mukdashim, and Beit Shammai is the author of the piece about the Bechor. Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, lately had it none. Does Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon not hold of what we have in our Mishnah, called Psulei Mukdashim, Nishchatim Bitlis, Nimkarim Bitlis, Vnishkalim Bitlitra? When it comes to a Kodesh that gets a mum in it, we allow you to sell it in the meat shuk, we allow you to sell it and weigh it and act in it like Chulin. Even though that's Bizayon Kodoshim, we allow you to do it because the beneficiary is Kodesh. In the end, if we allow you to sell it in such a manner, the person who redeems it is going to pay a much higher price. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Alman came into shortly, Tafi Bizavin. That if we allow such a thing to happen, the people will increase the price of the animal. So too over here. If we allow them to flay it in the way that Kulin would be flayed, that would increase the value of the animal, and the Hekdesh would benefit. We will allow a certain amount of Bizayon Kodoshim in order for Hekdesh to benefit. Amar Amari, Breder of Gana, Mashu Meshbiach Or, Bogim Basar. Over here, it's not true, because it's an either-or. Either you sell the basar, and you get a lot of money for the meat, or you get a lot of money for the skin. If you skin it in such a manner, or flay it in such a manner, that you're doing it to use for flasks, you end up hurting the amount of basar, because you'll err on the side of cutting into the basar, than on the side of cutting into the ore. Once you do that, you ruin the basar for sale. So it's not a net benefit to allow the flaying in this manner. It's either you flay it in this manner or you sell the basar. Since we already allowed the selling of the basar and you can get the value through that, nobody's going to lower the price because they can't flay it in such a manner. Because flaying in such a manner would also reduce the value or the proceeds had you sold it for meat. So therefore we said already he's going to pay full value because he can sell it for meat over here. The number of Mari Breder of Kana, Bemarova, Mishmei de Rabbi Avin, in the Eretz Yisrael, Mishmei de Rabbi Avin, or Mishmei de Ravina, Amre, or in the other possibility is not Mishmei de Rabbi Avin, but Mishmei de Ravina. They answered or explained, Bipnei, Shinirek Oveid Avodah B'Kodoshim. Problem over here is it looks like you're doing Avodah B'Kodoshim. It's certainly not Avodah B'Kodoshim because it's already after the death of the animal. It's already shechted. But nevertheless, we're going to say it's Nirek Avodah. It looks like you're doing Avodah B'Kodoshim, but we don't allow you to do this because of that. And then we have Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Avin Amar, Gzeiro Shemi Gadel Mehem Adarim Adarim. If we allow this dispensation that you can flay it in such a manner, what we're afraid of is a person's going to keep these things around to produce more and more of them so that he can have plenty of animals to flay in such a manner. In order to prevent that outcome, we say no flaying in this manner, so there's no benefit from him keeping these animals around and producing more of these animals to flay. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon doesn't necessarily have to be in contradiction to the Mishnah that says by Psulei Mukdashim that we allow or we have dispensations of Bizayon Kodoshim in order to benefit Hekdesh in terms of larger profits from the sale, because he has other reasons to be Oser over here. Either because the flaying of the animal brings in a lower price for the basar, and therefore on a net basis you haven't benefited. Or, by Marova, when he had an Eretz Yisrael, they gave two reasons why flaying might be different than the selling of the basar in such a manner. One is because it's Nireh Koveid Avodah, it's as if he's doing an Avodah with the Kodoshim. And the other one is because we're afraid that he's going to bring up flocks and flocks of this item. Okay, here the Mishnah begins the parak. Ketzed marimim ala bechor. How does one do something to get out of kedushat bechor? Basically, play a trick, do something that's somewhat underhanded in order to prevent the animal from becoming kadosh kedushat bechor. Mivakaret, you have an animal who is giving birth to its firstborn. Shaita miuberet, it's pregnant already, so you know this is going to be the firstborn. Omer, mashib bimbeah, whatever is contained, the fetus inside of this animal. Shealzu im zachar ola. If it is a zachar, then I'm making it into an ola. Yelda zachar. If it does give birth to a zachar, yikrav ola, then it's not a bechor, because he already placed the kedushat ola on it while it was still in utero. The kedushat bechor only happens when it's yotzei min arechem, when it comes out through the birth canal. And so since his kedushat ola preceded that of the kedushat arechem of the bechor, therefore the zachar is an ola, and he can use it as his ola. V'im nikeva, he says, if it's a female, it'll be a shlamim. Yoda nikeva, if it gives birth to a female, tikrav shlamim. Then it'll be brought on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim. Im Zachar, Ola, Vim Nekeva Zivche Shlamim. He makes two conditions here. If it's male, it'll be an Ola. If it's female, it'll be a Shlamim. Yelda Zachar V'Nekeva, if he gives birth to both, HaZachar Yikrav Ola, V'Nekeva Yikrav Shlamim. Then the male will be an Ola, and the Nekeva will be a Shlamim. Yelda Shnei Zacharim, if he gives birth to two males, Erech HaMeim Yikrav Ola. The first one we brought as an Ola, like his condition. V'Sheni, will be sold to someone who needs an ola, and the proceeds that he receives will be chulin. Because when he made the neder, he only intended for one of them to be an ola. But since he said that the zachar will be an ola, he can't just let it go and be nothing. So we say that it has to be sold to be used as an ola, but nevertheless, the monies that he receives in return for that will be chulin. If he gives birth to two females, first one we brought as a shlamim, and the other one, shlamim. Same thing, will be sold to be used for shlamim, and the proceeds are chulin. Gives birth to a tumtum androgynous that have questions about their gender. Dusha is not devolve upon these animals. Now Gemara goes, Amar Yehuda, mutar latil mum bebechor kodem sheyetzei le'avir olam. You're allowed to put a mum, you're allowed to put a blemish into a fetus in utero that will be a bechor, and in order to that when it is born, it'll be a bechor ba mum right away, and the kohen can eat it. You won't have to wait for it, you won't have to do anything, and there's no isur about putting the blemish in this animal, because it's in utero. In utero, it's not kadosh yet. It's only kadosh once it's born, it comes to pet rechem. So therefore, you're allowed to do this. None. Our Mishnah, we're going to ask on Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah. Omer, adam man shebe'er shelzu ola, ola in, shlamim lo. Seems from our Mishnah, in order to prevent something from becoming dushat, dushat bechor, you can only do that if you assign dushat ola to it. Since Kedushat Olah is more chamur, it protects or stops the animal from becoming a bechor. But had you done it as a shlamim, had you said it would be a shlamim, it wouldn't work. And you're suggesting over here, based on what Rabbi Huda is saying, that you can take away the kedushat bechor by putting a mum in it beforehand. And over here, we're saying that you need a full-fledged olah to take away the kedusha. Even a shlamim is not sufficient. That's the time when the Beit HaMikdash is extant. I'm talking about today, after the destruction of the Mikdash. Because over here, it's not ra'uid akrava whatsoever. So there's no restriction against you putting a mum in it in utero, because the animal, mimon of shach, is going to have to get a mum in it. Either has to wait to get a mum after it's born, or you put the mum in it before it's born. So we say, better to put the mum in it before it's born, then to wait around afterwards and have it sit around b'kdushat b'chor until it gets a mum. I says, b'zman hazeh, am I the memra? If it's b'zman hazeh, what's the question? So, ma'adu teimen igzor dilma nafik rov rusho, kashadi be muma, what are we afraid of? That he will only put the mum in once the rove of the head comes out. Rove of the head that comes out, that's considered to be a born animal, it has already kadosh b'kdushat b'chorah. If it's kadosh b'kdushat b'chorah, then it's a sur to put a mum in it. So maybe you'll do it too late. We're afraid that you'll put the mum in too late. Ve'ma achinami. So why aren't we choshesh for that? Maybe that is a good chashash. Where it says, afil hachi ha'adifa. Nevertheless, putting the mum in is more beneficial. Mida'ati be'li dig ziva voda. Because if we don't put the mum in it, the outcome is going to be much more problematic. That is, that you're going to have to keep this b'chor around until it gets a mum in it. In the interim, somebody can do, will shear it, do avoda with it, come to misappropriate this kedushat b'chor. So better to take the risk of putting in the mum up front, And we assume that in most cases he'll get it in there before Rove comes out, and it shouldn't be a problem. And therefore we're not worried about those strange or wild cases where the Rove came out already, because of the other side. The other possibility is that we're going to leave it around till it gets a mum, and that is a much more difficult situation. Therefore we prefer, or we give preference to that situation. Tosafot mentions over here, it's as well as the Tosafot and Bechorot, the Gemara speaks about the fact that you can also sell the mother to a Nachri. Over there the Gemara tells a story about Rav Mari Bar Rachel that sold his animal to a guy, and then he lost all of his flocks because of that. He had done something wrong. So despite that fact, we still use that as our methodology for taking away the Kedushat Bechor. Tosafot over here says that the reason that we give preference to doing that today is because better to sell it to the Nakri and not have this chashash of the Rove Rosh coming out and then putting the mum in it. So by selling it, you don't have any of these chashashot. Tosafot in Bechorot gives a different explanation and something that's important, which is that we would give preference to putting a mum into the animal in utero because the Bechor will still maintain its Kedusha in that case. It'll be a Bechor Baal Mum, but it'll still maintain Kedushat Bechor. Whereas in the case of Rav Mari Bar Rachel, when you sell it to the Goy, it's Mafkia mi Kedushat Bechor legamrei. Totally removes the Kedushat Bechor. And that's why Rav Mari was punished with losing his flocks, because he was Mafkia the Kedushat legamrei. So Rav Einu Tam says that today we do that. We actually sell the mother in order to prevent the Kedushat Bechor. That's because we're not Bekiim in Mum. We're not Bekiim in putting in a Mum, or what is a Mum. Since we're not Bekiim in that, putting the Mum in utero may not help, because we don't know if it really is a Mum, if it's a good enough Mum, if it's going to be Nitar Yedei that Mum. Better that we go all the way, sell it, and be Mafkia Yedei Kedusha, than running into all these other Sfeikot, could end up as having an animal that's running around that could have possibilities of Giza, Avoda, and other Isurim, Midoraita. Therefore, we give preference or precedence to selling it to a Goy, and that's how we prevent the issue of Bechor, Kedushat Bechor today. Mara continues to explain the Mishnah in Nekeva Zivchei Shlamim. It says, Nekeva Mika Kacha Bechora. If the Mishnah is speaking about a case that we're trying to get rid of the Kedushat Bechor, then why does he make a Tanai with regards to a female? Bechor only applies to a male. So I understand why he says, if it's a male, it'll be an Ola, because that's where he wants to prevent the male from coming Kadosh with Kedushat Bechora. He makes it into an Ola instead. But in the second part of the Mishnah, where he says, well, if it's a female, it'll become Shlamim. Why does he have to do that? It's a female, it's not kadosh, should be chulin the gamrei. So the keva mikakacha b'bchora, safe agile behemat hekdesh. Safe is not even about an animal that's already kadosh, b'kedushat hekdesh. And he doesn't want this fetus to attain or become kadosh like the kedusha of its mother. So therefore he's makdisha as a shlamim, so that this fetus will be a shlamim and not the kedusha of its mother. And that works because, at this point, the Gemara believes that vladot kodshim b'avyatan in kedoshim v'lo b'meiman. That when it comes to fetuses, offspring of animals that are kadosh, they only become kadosh with their mother's kedusha once they are born, not while they are in utero. Therefore, while they're in utero, you have the ability to be makdish those animals separately, because they have yet to attain the kedusha of their mother. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. If you say, if it's a nekeva, it'll be a shlamim, you've preempted the din of this animal becoming kadosh once it's born, and you can make it into a shlamim. So the first case is talking about chulin, that's going to give birth to a bechor. Second case in the Mishnah is talking about a case where it's Hekdesh. Where it says, well, now what about the third case? Yadash Nesacharim, Amrei Ibehema Ad Hekdesh, Heach Aktish Ola. Vehader Ola, Idach, Nahavi Begdushet Eidim. Wait a minute, the latter part of the Mishnah says, well, if you're going to say that if it's a male, it's an Ola, if it's a female, it's a Shlamim. If it gives birth to two males, we say the first one is an Ola, the second one you sell for Tzorche Ola, but the money's are Chulin. Why would that be the case? If you merely met the first one's Kadosh, so fine, that works, it becomes an Ola. But the second one, if you're not successful in making it Ola, then it should become like its mother. When it's born, it should attain the Kedusha of its mother. Why are you saying that it goes out to Chulin? So where it says, Seifatan the Behemat Chulin. That latter piece of the Mishnah is talking about a Behemat Chulin. So it turns out the Mishnah talks about the first case, Ketzah Marimim is a din of Behemat Chulin. The middle case, which is talking about Nekeva, is talking about Behemat Hekdesh. And the final part of the Mishnah is talking about when you have two animals that are born. When you made the Tanai of Zachar and Nekeva, that's again talking about a Behemat Chulin. So you have Chulin, Hekdesh Chulin, and that'll be the layout of the Mishnah. Okay, we'll stop over here.